Welcome back, podcast world. This is episode 5 of Balls Deep. I'm your co-host, Zach Wondrowick, as always, joined by co-host Chantridge and Caleb Price. Fellas, how y'all doing?
Man, it's a beautiful day.
Doing well, man. How are you?
Edmond, Oklahoma, boys.
CP, how are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Chance to join Edmond today rather than Tulsa.
Yeah. Chance's up here. We're together. First, I want to start off first saying congrats to your dad. Brought home another title. That's why he couldn't join us last week. Was that his game?
Won
him another state.
He was pumped about it, man. He's got 11 seniors, 8 of them on varsity that were in the state tournament last year whenever COVID hit. They had just pulled into the Mabee Center at ORU. It all got called off, so he was pretty bummed for them. And then for them to all be seniors this year and he didn't know if they were going to get to play or not, he was pretty pumped for them to get one headed out. So
yeah,
he did a good job. He was proud of those kids.
He's getting up there in a little bit of GOAT status. Keeps bringing home gold balls.
He's been 20 straight years now. So
20 straight years.
Holy fuck. Yeah. That's nice.
Go ahead and throw Papa Price.
Pretty impressive run, which Carl Albert has a ton of athletes coming through, so that definitely helps. But he does a good job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll get to our special guest this week. I told you guys on Facebook, if you come at this man, you better be straight.
Better be straight.
Let us introduce to you. The new 184-pound national champion wrestler, Heath Gray. Heath, how are you, brother?
Man, I'm doing awesome, man. Living on top of the world right now. It's been an awesome week, and you know, got that championship I've been working for so long. And man, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, brother. And we told you before, but you know, we'll tell you again. We're proud as hell of you. We knew what you were capable of. We knew you were going to do it from the get go. Congratulations, man. Super proud of you.
Hell yeah.
Man, thanks. Man, it means a lot. You know, I didn't really realize how much support I had and, you know, people like you and all over Facebook, Twitter, everything. It was crazy whenever I won that title, just my feed getting blown up with people saying congratulations and how they were watching me and supporting me on. Man, it's awesome how much people I had backing me.
You don't realize how much support you really have being a small town kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we had a lot of support coming from us, you know, just from us. But I mean, I'm talking like people that you will never even fucking see in your life had your back the whole way you were going to UCL, and they were like, you just see them talking about you, just being like, hey, Heath Gray, you seen Heath Gray winning the national championship? I was like, hell yeah, you know, I saw that. Like, how do you know Heath? I don't. I've just seen it. You know what I mean? It's stuff.
He's Chandler,
like
man. We're basically family.
Yeah, you know, right. And that's what it takes, you know, being a small town kid coming from, you know, what we had growing up. And it's an amazing thing seeing what kind of backing you can actually accumulate through the years just from being a good athlete coming from our town. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, so yeah. That makes it all worthwhile, partner.
Oh, without a doubt, man, you know.
And Caleb brought up, you know, he was saying last year his dad got to the state tournament and COVID shut it down. You're a national champion now. All of us know you should be a two-time national champion because you were winning that shit last year. I mean,
that's no doubt.
I don't think anybody was touching you last year. You'd be two-time now, but if you could just talk about, you know, with COVID shutting that down and, you know, you're ranked number one in the country. You know what I'm saying? Like, when somebody goes to 184 pounds and looks at the rankings in wrestling, number one says Heath Gray. You're the favorite to win it, was going to win it last year, and then COVID shuts it down. So how was that with COVID shutting it down? And then was that a driving motivator this year that you knew what you could have had last year and it got shut down? So, you know, it pushed you into what you did this year.
Right. Well, I'll start with last year. You know, they started shutting everything down about March 11th. Our national tournament was the 13th. So we had our last workout of the year on the 12th. We worked out about 4 o'clock. We get back to the hotel about 5 o'clock. And, oh, hey, you know, it's canceled. We're done. And, you know, it was insane. You know, at that point in time, we didn't really know anything about COVID. You know, it was right when they were shutting everything down. We're like, we're saying COVID, man, in Wuhan, China. It's not going to happen. Like, we're wrestling this national tournament. Right. And you know, when that happened, it was heartbreaking. I think at that time, yeah, I was, like you said, I was ranked number one in the nation, and I had beaten like 12 out of the 16 guys in my bracket that year. Yeah. So I was like, and I'd got third the year before that, and that was pretty devastating. And I knew I could have won it because that year I'd beat the national champ twice, and I just came up short in the semi. So it was one of those things, and I was motivated as hell, you know, last year, and then COVID shut everything down. And, you know, like you said, it was definitely a motivating factor because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen this year, man. I'm sitting there like, hey, it could get cut, but, you know, and like, I'm not going to go through that heartbreak that we went through last year, gone through way too much. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that was the big thing, you know, like you were saying, all the support and everything. Last year, I was hitting you up. I'm like, bro, like, give me this link. Like, I got to watch you, you know, like I had dudes at my work, you know, like, I'm pulling it up on my computer and I'm like, hey, you know, this is a Chandler boy right here. He's about to go out and win a national championship, you know? And then all of a sudden you hit me back up and you're like, man, they canceled us. And I was like, what the fuck, man?
No.
That's what I was just watching, that Last Chance U series on Netflix. They did a basketball one this year and we just finished it. And the last episode is them going through the playoffs and then their season just gets canceled. And I didn't put it together when I was watching. I was like, well, I forgot everybody got canceled last March. So
yeah, that was the year Kobe died, bro.
Yeah, they're filming that Last Chance U series, and then the last episode is them not being able to go to the national tournament because of COVID. Just such a bummer for everybody, but pump for you, man. That was cool. Come back and win it.
Man, well, one of the worst things about it is some of those people who were seniors last year, and exactly. they got their senior year canceled, you know. And you make the argument, yeah, you wrestled most of the season, but you know, everybody would go and lose every single match all year if they could just like make it the national tournament, wrestle the national tournament, and you know, have at least a chance to compete. So,
and then have it ripped away from you.
Yeah, man, and you know, I went to Newman University originally, and things didn't work out there, and I had to sit out a year, and that was one of those things, man. I just really beat myself up for, you know, thinking like I made a stupid decision and, you know, not doing things the right way, but. I mean, it really ended up all working out for the best because had I not set that year out, I would have been one of those COVID seniors.
Right. And
I'd have been
blessing in disguise.
National championship and been absolutely heartbroken and devastated. So that's one of those things like that makes me leave, man. Everything happens for a reason.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt.
And so you just mentioned, you know, when you were like that year that it did get canceled, you know, the year before that national champion, you'd beat him twice. Mm-hmm. But in your experience, how you kind of do things, you know, like, do you look forward, you know, like, you obviously know names that are in the wrestlers, you know, like, you know who you're wrestling, you know, wherever your meets come up, do you mark the calendar? It's like, yeah, I want this dude, like, he's on my calendar, or do you just, you kind of roll with it, and you're like, man, I know what I'm capable of, throw anybody on the mat with me, and let's get it on.
Yeah, well, I kind of, you know, to an extent, you know, I'm usually worried about, like, what's right in front of me, so, like, that week comes up, and say, I know I have a tough opponent, like, I'm going to start getting a little antsy. Yeah. You know, it was even better that year where I wasn't ranked because, like, I come in unranked. I wrestle a ranked guy, and my blood starts boiling. Like, man, this is an opportunity to wrestle a good guy and, like, show him I have what it takes, and I'm going to get after this guy. He's ranked number three in the country, and I'm not ranked. Well, I'm about to be ranked number three because I'm about to beat this guy.
You're damn right.
That's the only bad thing about being ranked number one is, man, you're the guy with the target on your back.
Every time I've seen you wrestle – That was last season. I didn't get to see you wrestle this season, but I live streamed you a few times last season just so I could see what Heath Gray was made of. But and your mom shared a lot of your you know, matches as well. Mm-hmm. And I watched a few of those. But whenever I live streamed you, I was like, there ain't nobody taking this kid down. he's gonna mow through and just start busting ass. All right? Yeah, it was awesome.
I taken down a total of six times all last year, and I kind of inadvertently did it this year. I wasn't taken down a single time.
Yeah. Nice. You know what I'm saying? He's too strong for these fellas.
Well, little subtle flex there. He said, I'm national champion. Ain't nobody out there took me down either.
It was a really subtle awesome. Flex.
It sounds like you're challenging all three of us. We might all three be able to take you down together. I know damn sure I ain't taking you down by myself, but if I got all three of us, we might be able to make it happen.
You better be able to go for 7 minutes. Y'all are old and fat, man.
Man, I ain't going 7 minutes. I'll give you 30 seconds, and I'm done.
give me hell for 30 seconds, aren't you?
Yeah.
I think I'm the only one that's not old and fat here.
No, yeah.
You're definitely old.
And Caleb, man. Caleb looks like he's in shape. I know you worked out this morning.
Yeah, I'm in good shape. I'm in good shape.
I didn't know we were turning this podcast into fat shaming me, boys.
Oh, man.
Just
because 2021, make fat shaming great again.
Just because my shoulders take up the whole screen doesn't mean I'm fat, bro. Okay.
You're gonna have to sit sideways just so we can see Zach in the frame.
I walk sideways through doors, Heath. All right.
Hey, man, have the best of it. We can't all be big like you, man. I'm trying to. I'm gaining weight. Gotta wait for 6 months. It's time to get big.
I got another one for you. We talked about it on Kel's episode. From a baseball standpoint, you know, a lot of people get caught up in the D1 thing. You know, it's like especially in baseball, it's like, oh, man, I got to go D1. I got to go D1, you know. When we talked about in his episode, you know, sometimes the JUCO route is better. You know, you said you started it at Newman. Then mm-hmm. you came to UCO. But for, like, people don't know out there, like, Division II wrestling, they get after it. UCO
gets still the real deal. You better be ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some dudes in Division II, and you know, obviously the D1s that can wrestle, you know, like Oklahoma State and stuff like that. You know, like those dudes get after it. But there's a lot of dudes in D2. So my question for you is, you know, what you're capable of? I'm sure you could have wrestled at somebody somewhere like OSU. You know, mm-hmm. like, and you know, you have that title, that big D1 title of Oklahoma State, but you chose UCO. Like, what kind of went into that thought process? What brought you to UCO? And then, and not to mention too, we said there's dudes in D2, but UCO is a powerhouse in D2 wrestling.
Yeah,
man, that was kind of the deal. You know, I know how much, like, how much potential UCO had, and they've won, what, 15 national titles and had, I don't know, 128 All-Americans. I'm a couple of those, just gonna say.
I'm another subtle.
Yeah. And yeah, nice. And I mean, heck, it's local, it's right up the road, and you know, it's Edmond, man. I love it. And yeah, I probably could have went D1. That's one of those things I think about, because you know, I'd beat plenty of D1 competition. And you know, kind of as you're saying, as in how it compares to D2 and D1, you know, the top, you know, 5% in D2 could probably hang with any of the guys in D1.
Yeah.
And
right
in D2 you might find like some scrubs at the bottom of the barrel. Deal with D1 is there's just one, there's so many more schools, and just people are more consistent and they want it more, which is nice. And that, like, I'm, you know, kind of pretty admirable to all the guys in D1 because they work their asses off.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
I've seen you work your ass off through the years, bro. And I, man, once again,
that's, I'm not just crazy athletic or, you know, have any crazy moves like that. So for me, it's just, got to work my ass off.
I've watched you shoot a basketball, so I know you're not just crazy out but I know you can roll a motherfucker up if you wanted to.
Yeah, when it comes to making shots, man, I'm not going to do it. But, hey, oh, funny story. We were wrestling OCU last year, and, like, I go out there, do my thing. I end up tech falling the guy, and I kind of run behind this barrier, and there's some kids playing basketball. And they're like, are you any good? Like, you any good at basketball? And I'm like, thinking in my head, like, I'm horrible. And I was like, well, just give me the ball. And I just drain a three. I said, there's your answer. And I was like, that's one in a million happening.
I'm out.
I'm out no more.
Coming from a basketball family, it was always funny to watch the wrestlers play basketball. You know, that's what I was good friends with a couple of wrestlers coming out. And you know, they did a lot of, you know, hoop and running up and down just for some cardio and mm-hmm. and sweat off some weight. And it was always funny to watch the wrestlers get after it on the basketball court.
Well, they turned it into wrestling.
It's not a whole lot of shots going in.
Yeah, my offense is non-existent, but damn, like, I'm going to play some defense.
Yeah, you can't score if I got you pinned on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. And I just don't understand the fouls. Like, oh, I can't club you in the back of the head?
I got my guy. My guy's good. He's over there crying in the corner.
So on the topic of, you know, working your ass off to get where you were, and Caleb had mentioned that, you know, the wrestlers go out there, run up and down the floor, sweat off some weight and everything. For the people out there that don't know, you obviously experience it every year. Walk us through, like, how shitty is, like, the cutting and staying at weight and, you know, kind of walk us through what you have to endure to, you know, cut your weight and maintain your weight.
Man, far as cutting weight goes, the worst part about wrestling, like I swear, and like I like up and down, I always say this: if you didn't have to cut weight for wrestling, it might be the greatest sport ever. But that, man, it is horrible, you know, because I got up to what, 220 over the summer. I was pretty thick, and I had to cut all the way down to 184. And you know, usually those, where was that? Probably about 30 pounds. Those first 20 pounds falls off pretty easy because, you know, we're in there, we're working hard, we're getting after it. It's that last 10 that really starts to hit you. And yeah, you talk about kind of hating your life, especially those like last 3 days, because you just start having to cut out little bits. And especially like the, what's about the last 24 hours, man, I might not have a drink of water. You know, I'm sitting there just.
You got to keep every ounce off of you.
Exactly. Yeah. This year more than any, like I was, it seemed like I was underneath the sink, just swishing water through in my mouth the entire time.
Can't enjoy a nice little Michelob on Saturday.
Heck no, man.
Can't do none of that.
Had my first beer in like 6 months. That was the night of the national tournament.
Damn right. I said, I ain't got to worry about
it. I bet it tasted good, too.
Oh, man. It was, yeah. Tasted like victory.
Yeah, damn right.
Like a funny story that happened to me this year, and it was like for the first time, like it was one of the days we were cutting weight. It was kind of a mock weigh in just so we could, I think it was the week before regionals, just so everybody could kind of get their weight under control. I wake up in the middle of the night from a dream, and I'm thinking, like, I've made weight. I'm good. Like, I can drink whatever I want. I go up to the sink, and I pour a big, tall glass of water. I drink, and I kind of snap, too. I'm like, what am I doing? wake up, go check my weight that next morning, and I'm a pound over. And I'm like, gosh.
Oh, shit.
I got to hop on the bike and run while I've been cutting for 3 days straight. The last thing I wanted to do.
Jeez.
So, just I'm going to ask this just because I don't know. There might be some people out there that don't know. So you get to the national tournament, you know, you wrestle at 184. What happens if you step on the scale and you're, let's say, 185? Are you done, or what happens?
Well, the setup for weigh-ins at the national tournament was they have 10 scales, and, you know, they have 125, 33, so on and so forth, all the way up to heavyweight. So all 16, 18 guys, how many of they have in the bracket, it was a little different this year with COVID, will weigh in. And if, say, I was 184.1, well, then they would make me set behind the kind of the weigh-in area, and then I'd be able to challenge on all those scales. Maybe not all of them. I don't know how many times. I think there's a rule you can challenge one or two scales. It might be all. I don't know. But if you challenge and you do that after everyone else has finished weighing in, and if you still don't make weight, you're done. You don't get to wrestle.
So
better be spitting.
So let's say
you better be spitting one-tenth.
So if you're at 184.1 and you're challenging, you got to wait for everybody else to weigh in. Are you back there just rolling on the floor, just sweating as much as you can?
You can't do that. It's usually like 10, 15 minutes before weigh-in starts. You got to stop. Like if they see you running like that, they're likely to DQ you.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, so your best luck might just be sitting there, like you said, you know, spitting, doing whatever you can. And you want to see a bunch of, you know, and having to wait after everyone else weighs in. Like, talk about a pissed off dude, because everybody, except for probably the heavyweights, are pissed off, cut down, skinny, haven't eaten 12 hours. And
yeah, hungry as hell.
Like, you know, it's, can't tell you how many times it's like, come on, man, it's 8:58, it's 8:59, it might as well be 9 o'clock. Like, let us weigh, let us get on that scale, let us get some fluids in us and get to wrestling.
Yeah, and once you weigh in, I mean, obviously, you know, you're not going to hop on the scale, weigh in at 184, and then go hammer a triple cheeseburger or anything like that. But once you hit on your weigh in, or do you have to weigh in again later on through the tournament, or are you good? You made your weight, and then you can, you know, like you can drink your water, get hydrated, and do whatever.
Well, we'll weigh in the next day. They used to have it where you just had to have one weigh in, but then some guys would kind of cut their weight wrong. You know, I think it was in the D1 tournament. I think in the '90s, some guy wrestled at 25, made his weight. And then he was like 145, 150 pounds by the time the finals came around. So the guy just blew up. So you have to weigh in the second day or the third day if it's D1s. And they do that so, you know, guys don't cut too much weight.
But, you
know, right after I step off the scale, boom, getting hydrated. I'm eating some breakfast, slamming a protein shake. And one of the deals with that is you can't – I mean, I'm probably putting on 8 pounds immediately –
Right,
5 pounds, 8 pounds by the time the day's over, and
literally from just hydrating yourself again.
Yeah, and you know, because that's one of those things. If you're sitting there, you're worried about making weight the next day and you don't get to your, you know, prime optimum, you know, capacity, feeling well and everything like that, if you're worried about your weight, you're probably going to lose your match.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's one of those things. And like what I did after that first day, I had my second match, didn't even step on the scale. I threw up my warmups, just got to running.
Yeah. And do you have it, like when you do your weigh-in, like you've wrestled for so long and you know the ins and out of it and knowing how to get to your weight and all that. Mm-hmm. Do you fluctuate a little bit, or do you have it narrowed down to a science where you hit 184 and if you step on a scale at any time, you're going to be right around there?
Yeah. Well, as far as, you know, like before, like the week leading up to it, I'm probably gonna be like 194 a week out, and then just slowly take it down, and might be, you know, so where I have to lose about, I'll probably be about 187 or so before that last practice, lose that weight. And usually I can float about 2 pounds in a night. So the night before tournament, I got to sleep about 185 and a half, 86. I know I'm going to wake up underweight or right on.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's how I usually do that.
The craziest thing about it is like fucking wrestling comes down to if you're going to weigh the right amount before mm-hmm. you can even step on the mat. You know what I mean? And it shocks everybody. They don't understand the grueling shit that you have to go through just to make the weight by itself. Like, nice. I mean, some people are just built heavy. You're built heavy. You and your brother both, you guys are just built heavy dudes. But I mean, like, cutting weight for you guys isn't as easy as these other fellas, you know, that are, that, you know, 145, 135. They can just, they have the metabolism to just cut and shred anytime they want to. You mm-hmm. guys have to really, really work for it whenever you just have, you know, muscle, whenever you're straight muscle like that. And it,
yeah.
People don't understand how much it takes to really get through, you know, the mindset that says, oh, I got to lose 10 pounds this week. People don't understand that losing 10 pounds in 1 week is it happens. But in wrestling, it's necessary, because if I don't lose 10 pounds this week, I'm not wrestling anybody.
Right. Yeah. You're not even going to hit the mat. And, you know, you weigh in, you make weight, and then chances are you got to do the same thing next weekend. You got to bounce back and do it again.
Exactly, man. Like,
what really sucks with wrestling is, you know, we hop on that scale, 2 hours, we're wrestling. So if you're a 125-pounder, you've got about 2 hours exactly. You're weighing in, you're wrestling on the mat. You know, UFC, they get 24 hours to rehydrate and all that. And then on the second day, because we only get 1 hour weigh in, so we weigh in at 11 o'clock, boom, 12 o'clock, we're wrestling.
I got a question for your ass.
And warm up. Say it again.
I got a question for your ass.
Let's hear it, man.
Is the UFC in the question for you?
Man, it's not out of the question. We'll say that. I've seen it, man, and that stuff looks like it hurts. I'd be all for it until somebody kicked me upside the head, and I'd be like, ah, this is for me.
I'm a little upset right now because, but we haven't, you know, we haven't talked about our questions we're going to ask you, and he totally hijacked one of my questions. I was going to you got another year, correct? At UCF?
Yeah, I do, okay. Because of COVID. Yeah. Will I take it? I don't know. I haven't answered that question yet.
Oh.
We're going to figure it out, yeah.
Break the news on balls deep.
Break the news on balls deep.
Break the news on balls deep.
We like to have the
yeah, now you got the exclusive.
I'll send it straight to ESPN right now. We'll all get updates on our phone.
I'll email it to TMZ, bro.
Breaking news. Breaking news. Heath Gray decides to return to UCO.
Second natty. Second natty.
I don't know. Hey, a second national title does sound pretty nice.
So, I mean, you said that, you know, it's not out of the question. So, I mean, just right now, you know, life after wrestling, you know, are you going to take some time, you know, to, you know, let your body, you know, just kind of, man, I'm going to chill out for a little bit because I put my body through this for so long, or you wanting to, you know, next adventure, like get on it right now, whatever it may be, whether it's MMA or whatever it is, what kind of your mindset now of what's after wrestling life, what will life look like?
Well, man, you know, as far as, you know, competing and like, you know, just we'll say this year, for example, you know, I took about 3 days off. Boom, I'm right back in the gym. I started getting antsy. I'm sitting around. I was like, man, I got to do something. And, you know, and then whenever wrestling's over, I'm going to be looking for something to fill that void, whether it's MMA, whether it's just training. There's a good
right.
You know, probably that's what's going to happen. I'm going to train for it. And, you know, if a fight happens to show up and I feel like I'm ready, I'll go take it. I'm not going to just step in any or like, you know, just some random fight unprepared and, you know, get my ass kicked.
Right.
But well, you know, I'll tell you this
too. I just feel like that's not going to happen.
And I'll tell you this too. Like if you know, you go into the MMA training and all that, if you ever need a sparring partner, do not call me.
Don't call me. I'll hit a tan.
Cause I'm out. I won't do it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've already trained a little MMA. And so, you know, I've got a little bit underneath my belt, but you know, focus right now is still on wrestling.
Right, and a good buddy of yours and a good buddy of mine when I was at UCO, Greg Wilson, hell of a wrestler, and you know, I kind of see that he's moving towards that way, you know, getting into a little combat sports, you know, MMA. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if that was something you did. Greg's crazy. Greg will be
Greg,
good.
Yeah, Greg is wild, man. He's a good, good buddy of mine. He All-American that year, All-American in Cleveland. The year I got third, he got eighth at heavyweight.
Yeah.
And he was the heavyweight wrestling guys that weighed 285 pounds, and he was 207 popping on the scale that second day. And he
just because, and correct me if I'm wrong, just because he wanted the challenge, correct? He could have went down, but he wanted the challenge of heavyweight.
Yeah, that too. And I think he was having complications with, you know, he was so lean and like couldn't quite get to 97.
That dude is shredded.
Like, yeah, so he couldn't make 97 because weight certification and stuff like that. And he's like, screw it, I'll go heavyweight. I'm not scared. I'm going to get after it. And I'm like, power to you, Greg. Those guys are big. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't want to do it, but again, power to you.
Yeah, and that's kind of his mindset, though. It's like, man, fuck it. Like, I'll wrestle him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he wasn't scared, man. And, you know, eighth in the country, and, you know, he was getting after it. You know, I think he ended up fracturing his skull just because he wasn't scared to headbutt those big dudes. I got a picture with him after that national tournament, and you know, smiling ear to ear, and he's all black and blue. It's a funny picture, actually.
Yeah, and that dude is strong as an ox too.
Dude, he is strong.
Holy shit! We worked out at the same gym. Like that dude would do some stuff in there, and I'm like, how? Like at his size, you know, like he's a big dude. But the things he was doing, like, you expect out of, like, bodybuilder, somebody, you know, just yoked out of their mind. And I'm just like, Jesus, he's a freak.
Calm down, Greg.
Yeah. Calm down, Greg.
Like, there ain't no reason to strap a 100-pound dumbbell to you and start doing pull-ups. Like, there ain't no reason for that. Stop.
Oh, yeah. He was hungry, man, and he won it. You know, I was really happy to see him win that – or, you know, go All-American at a weight where he's given up 80 pounds to some people.
Yeah,
that's no small feat. So I got to give that to him.
Heath, I'm going to give you a lot because I've watched you grow up. You know, your brother is one of my best friends. I've seen you become the man you are now, dude. And you know, like we were talking about earlier, before the pod, couldn't be more proud of you, man. You've done so much, and you've really it's the epitome of earned it. You know what I mean? When I say that, I mean, like, I've watched you grow into the man you are today, and I've watched you work your fucking ass off. So, you know what I mean? Like, the epitome of earned it, I've watched you earn that national championship from day one, bro. So, you know, we were talking about it earlier as well. Another thing is the backing that you have. There's so many people that have your back that you don't even know, you know, just coming from a small town. And people from Tulsa, I live in Tulsa. People from Tulsa are talking about, hey, dude, man, this dude just won the Natty. I'm like, I know that guy. Like, yeah, I know him. Like,
yeah, that's C-Town right there. Yeah, C-Town's finest.
I got a rep, man.
That's the good stuff, man. Couldn't be more proud of you, brother. We're very proud of you. As a C-Town rep, we really appreciate the way that you put on for us a lot of the time. We talk about you a lot of the time, man. We're super proud of you, and we hope that you continue that success next season and get a second Natty. Just go back
if he comes back, because we're still waiting
for you. If I come back, I will not be denied. I'll be even more hungry.
Still waiting for you to break the
news. One is nice, two just sounds prime.
And we're still gonna wait for you to break the news on Balls Deep. If it don't get to this episode, you just
I'll make a surprise showing next time.
Whenever you decide,
you'll have the exclusive. Balls Deep's gonna know first.
Damn right. You let me know whenever you decide. We're bringing you right back on.
But you gotta do it like the Wolf of Wall Street.
I'm not fucking leaving. So last thing I got for you, Heath, and then we'll move on to. We got a couple of sports topics we want to talk about. you worked your ass off, you worked your entire life to get to where you're at now. So the clock ends, you know, whatever it is, you're a national champion. You did it. Kind of walk us through, like, the emotions, like, you know, right off the rip. Once it was done, what was going through your head, the emotions going through your body?
All right. Well, I'll kind of start with before the match. You know, I'd been in that situation, big match situation before. You know, I think my junior year of high school, like, I kind of let the nerves get to me. You know, I'm sitting there, like, 25-pounders or, like, one of the lighter weights are going on. I'm sitting over there bouncing around and – heck, I blew my adrenaline before the match even started. So kind of the name of the game for before the match was, you know, I just kept telling myself, hey, follow the three C's. Be cool, be calm, be composed. And, you know, I have faith in my training. It'll all work out. So, you know, pacing, control my breathing. But, you know, as far as, you know, after the match, man, I knew I could do it, but I was almost in disbelief, you know. And I don't know if you got to watch the match, but boom, that third period blew. And I looked at the clock. And they had the score wrong. They had it 3-3. And I'm sitting like, yeah. did I get hit with another stalling? Was that the third period? Is this match still going to go on? So I'm sitting there. And, I mean, I'd also been throwing a couple headbutts, so I might have been a little delirious. But I was just sitting there and, you know, because I was thinking, you know, I'm going to be freaking out and like, woo, let's go. And I'm just sitting there after it. And I was like, I just heard my music playing on. And I was like, man, I did it.
And so that's what I was going to ask you guys leading into that, because when you think of – when I think of, you know, winning a national championship, wait, you're jumping up, ripping that singlet off, you know, flexing to the crowd, whatever. It ended, and you kind of got up and was just like, oh, I'm a national champion.
I was like, oh, hey, man, nothing but a thing. That's what I came here to do. No, yeah. I was just literally – I was in disbelief, you know. Like I said, again, I knew I could do it, but I just – I don't know. It was – I got flushed with so many emotions that they're just – I didn't have anything to, like, put out. Right. You know, it was crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, and for the last thing, then we'll go on to the sports topic. I'll reiterate what Chance said. You know, brother, we're proud as hell of you. So happy for you. Wish nothing but the best for you. So let's hop into our first topic. CP, we're going to let you take the lead on this one because it is your shitty Cowboys. let's talk about that Dak Prescott contract.
Hey, by the way, since I missed the last pod, but the one before that, we got our golf results back today, and I did win that tournament.
Let's go! Nice!
Just
got him back.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped about that. And then I got another one today at 11:40, so I'm going to head out of here pretty soon. But
what's funny is Red literally said, he said, I bet money Caleb won that.
Yeah. Caleb
said, man, I know you're a national champion, but, I mean, I won my golf tournament 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, hey, man, yeah, you got way more to celebrate than I do.
So the
contract, oh, I don't know, man. I'm a Dak fan. He's not worth the money that the Cowboys paid him.
$40 million a year.
But the deal is like, I feel like the contracts keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's the second highest contract in the league now? Below Patrick Mahomes,
yeah,
I think.
He's behind Pat, but
and he's not the second best quarterback in the league. I mean, that's not even a hate to him.
By no means.
I do think that he's a good enough quarterback if they put people around him that they can be a winning team. But I don't think that it was the direction they should have went. But I'm not super pissed about it because, you know, we got a quarterback locked in, but.
And there's worse quarterbacks in the league. Like,
there's worse quarterbacks out there.
Man, so. I don't like – shut that shit, man. He's coming at my Broncos, man. We're in the same boat, remember? I don't like whenever people put Dak Prescott as one of the worst quarterbacks because the dude went out and shoved last season, got hurt.
He had MVP-type numbers.
Week five, whatever, he got hurt and still held the passing record for 2 weeks before somebody finally passed him. So, you know,
he had some good numbers. They put some good weapons around him for sure. That's why I mean, I don't think it for them to win deep in the playoffs and maybe have a chance at a Super Bowl. I don't know that he is the problem.
Not the problem because whenever you put up numbers like that, they do the same thing with Tony Romo. You
right, remember? Right.
Romo had awesome, great numbers. But you can score 40 points a game, but when you give up 50 points a game, you're not going to fucking win. And that's the thing. Yep. We're Sooner football fans. We've been putting up with that shit for the last 5-10 years.
Score 50, give up 51.
Yeah.
And defense wins championships, man. They just can't seem to get it done.
There you go, man. Exactly.
Hey, we get defense is shaping up at OU a little bit. I'm excited about this year.
For sure. I'll give you my thoughts on the Dak contract. The $40 million a year, I think, is a lot for him. I don't think it's out of this world a lot for him, though.
Right.
If they would have paid him $30 to $35 million a year, I'd be like, that's a pretty good deal. Because like I said, there's worse quarterbacks than him. He is a good quarterback, but where I have the problem with paying him $40 million a year is their other contracts. You can't pay him $40 million a year when you're paying Amari Cooper $120 million a year and Zeke $90 million a year and all these guys. Because I mean, they're paying Zeke $90 million a year to go out and bust defense's ass for 33 yards a game.
Yeah, he wasn't very good the last two seasons at all.
Yeah.
After they paid him that money.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, whenever running backs get paid their money, they start deteriorating.
They're trying to save their shelf life. I mean, they've got paid. Now, where's your loyalties lie in the NFL? Who you a fan of?
Man, I don't have just a crazy amount of loyalties. You know, I used to be a huge Cowboys fan. And then kind of like what you're saying with Tony Romo, you know, he put up some points and do well and amazing during the regular season. And then postseason starts coming around and just couldn't do anything. I like to see Tom Brady do well. Shout out to the GOAT. But
yes.
I don't know. See, one of my big deals is, you know, I'm really big on college football. So a lot of the times, you know, when OSU guy comes out of college and goes to an NFL team, I kind of start gravitating towards them. Yeah. Like when, you know, Sam Bradford and Adrian Peterson were up with the Vikings, I was like, let's go Vikings all the way.
Right. I was kind of pulling for them secretly too.
Yeah. I really have to.
I don't know.
Being a Sooners fan, you have to do that.
I was about to say, I think OU football more so than any other program. I think it's just kind of an Oklahoma thing to pull for your people, but it seems like, you know, you see a bunch of Browns jerseys around Oklahoma now that Baker Mayfield's went up there, and I watch the Browns games now and pull for them just because of Baker. But, yeah, I think it's kind of a normal thing for people to kind of follow those guys from OU and OSU after college and be fans of those teams, because I've kind of done a similar thing with that, just following players and pulling for those teams. Cowboys have always been my kind of team, but it's hard to cheer for them. So
with Baker Mayfield, that's a perfect example, because I do not like the Browns, but I want to see them succeed just because Baker Mayfield's up there.
Right.
If I had it my way, the Raiders would be winning the Super Bowl every year.
Did you say the Raiders?
Raider Nation, man.
Well, Balls Deep ain't going to have the exclusive. But
they are horrible, so it's hard to
coming back on Balls Deep.
The Raiders.
The Raiders?
I'll tell you, man, it's because it's how they used to play back in the day, man. They were just mean and got after it, and, you know, that ship's kind of sailed. So, you know,
speaking of the
closet Raiders fan, I don't say that a lot.
speaking of the Raiders fans, we'll give a shout out to the Edens brothers, DJ and Cole.
Those dudes
are big Raiders fan. I got to give them shit all the time. But we were talking about, you know, how you kind of gravitated towards, you know, where the OU guys go. That brought me back to, you know, the Chiefs had the Browns in the playoffs in their first round this year. And I was getting texts, you know, because I'm a huge Chiefs fan. Got Patrick Mahomes tattooed on me. And so I'm getting texts. It's like, bro, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The Browns are playing the Chiefs. You know, Baker's playing the Chiefs. Who are you rooting for? I'm like, what do you mean? Who am I rooting for? I hope Pat beats Baker by 80. Like, I'll root for Baker. Like, I hope he does well. But if it comes to you're lining up on the other side of that arrowhead, like, I want to whoop your ass.
Right, Chiefs all the way. That's funny. I'm not huge.
They played really well on the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I got a lot of friends up in Kansas, so every time the Chiefs play, I'll give them all kinds of hell.
It's really tough being a Broncos fan, and I'm sure it's even tougher being a fucking Cowboys fan right now.
It is.
We just let go of Philip Lindsay. What the fuck?
That's going to keep you up late at night, isn't it?
I was stressing out about it almost as much as I was stressing about the Blake Griffin deal the other day. So that's our next topic. Let's go balls deep in the Blake Griffin. Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to help him. I don't know that it's going to help him that much.
Well, we talked about in episode one when we started this podcast, one of our topics was the super team era.
Yeah, super team.
Whether Blake Griffin works out in Brooklyn or not, anytime you have Blake Griffin as a fourth option,
right,
you're okay.
That's what I don't know that it's going to make them a ton better than they already are. And to be honest, I haven't watched him a ton. I know he's been hurt and went through like a year and a half or 2 year stretch where he wasn't as good as when he was
three
or 4 years ago. I'm sure a little bit. I'm sure there's a little bit more motivation behind playing on a contending team, you know, versus playing for the Pistons. So he's probably going to bust it a little bit more being with the Nets.
So here's a really good question. I just kind of thought of the. Blake Griffin teaming back up with DeAndre Jordan, does it become Lob City in Brooklyn, though?
Well, they ain't got CP to lob it to him.
But they have Kyrie.
Yeah, Kyrie and James Harden don't pass that much.
Yeah, who knows? Harden will lead the league in assists, but people don't talk about him passing. He kind of gets a rap like Russ does of being a ball
right.
hog. But, I mean, people will call Russ a ball hog all the time. And he leads the league in assists.
I don't understand that narrative.
Russ has been going off, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad. Here recently.
Russ always gonna go off though.
He's really
I don't care
he's gonna give it your all, that's for sure.
First 30 games, Russ did not go off.
If Russ has 5 points, one board, no assists, in my eyes, Russ went off.
It's because he's got a huge Russ tattoo. So if he doesn't ride for him, then he looks like a
Yeah, Zach, you're predisposed to go for Westbrook.
Yeah, you're damn right. I mean, I'll never turn my back on Russ.
So do you
that's,
guys?
Yeah, that's banned right there, man.
I'm gonna meet him one of these days. My biggest fear. So here's my biggest fear that I have. I meet Russell Westbrook one day, and I show him this tattoo on my calf. Takes up my whole leg. Great portrait done by Jake Gilpatrick on my leg. My biggest fear is I meet him. I show him this leg, and he's like, why the fuck would you do that?
to one of the sickest tattoos.
That was my first thought. And then I saw the finished piece, and I was like, it looks pretty sick.
Yeah.
I was like, why is he putting Russ on his leg?
Hey, and let me tell you, you
that's
know,
commitment,
I got Russ Jeter and Pat wrapping around my leg. I haven't started it yet, so people haven't seen it, obviously, and not a lot of people know about it. Chance does. What's in the works next? Up on my thigh, moving up my leg, Baker Mayfield planting the flag at Ohio State. So y'all be on.
Let's go plant some grass with flags, boy.
Cruz is gonna grow up and be like, Dad, where's my tat?
Yeah, dude. So funny story about that.
These weird men on your leg.
We were talking about that last weekend.
We'll kind of get a little off topic. Cruz, my son. He'll be crawling around on the floor, right? And I'll be sitting on the couch, and, you know, my legs are on the ground. He'll crawl up, and he'll look at my tattoos on my leg. And obviously, you know, he's 10 months old. He don't know what a tattoo is. But he knows what faces are and stuff. And he looks at my leg and, like, touch it. And he's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you down here? it's cool as hell. We're creeping up an hour, and like Caleb said, he's got a golf tournament today. So the last thing we'll talk about for any sports fan, it's Christmas time right now because March Madness started yesterday. You know, I always love it because my birthday was yesterday, and March Madness is always starting.
Happy birthday, by the way. I know I told you yesterday, happy birthday on the pod.
Happy birthday, man.
I appreciate it, but it's like Christmas. Like it's a birthday present every year because March Madness starts on my birthday damn near every year, you know, whether it be a day short or on the day, you know, whatever. But March Madness rolls around, and then everybody loves the upsets, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The home state, Golden Eagles, ORU shocking the world yesterday, knocking off Ohio State.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I was pulling for them. I got a little
– beat a 15 since, like, 2016.
Yeah, yes. It's only, like, the eighth or ninth time ever. So it was pretty sweet for them.
So many years before that.
Anytime I see Ohio State lose, I'm
very – it feels good. Yeah. I got a little irresponsible with my sports betting yesterday, so I was a little pissed at some of the games.
Pete Rose.
Yeah, that definitely screwed up a lot of brackets.
Go ahead.
Hey, we're gonna win all the money back today.
Go ahead and tell us your parlay. What'd you have?
I would like to know.
So I had, who was it that screwed it up? It was
come on, bro. Hurry up.
I sent it. I was texting with my buddy Gooch about it. I got to go see what I see.
You have a friend named Gooch?
Subtle flex.
Yeah.
I feel like his.
Okay, so it was North Carolina that messed it up. So I had ORU winning. Believe it or not, I had ORU in a parlay. I had an ORU.
You're the only one in the country who knew that was going to happen or who was rooting for him. Yes.
And that's what – I know their basketball coaches really well. Not to say that I knew they were going to win because it's a 2 versus a 15, but I – he recruited one of my dad's players a while back. And so I was asking him, I was like, how's the team this year? He was like, man, we have a really good guard that nobody knows about. He was like,
leads the country in scoring.
Yeah. And he ended up going off this year. So he was right. But anyways, I had ORU. I had Oklahoma State -7, which if you were watching that game, they were up 9 and Liberty missed a 3 at the buzzer.
Yeah.
So I dodged that
missed a 3 and it came off the backboard and the dude caught it and could have laid it
and
up.
And he smoked it, yes.
Smoked it off the backboard.
Yeah, so I was pumped about that. So that was 2 legs of the parlay. Then I had Houston money line. They won. And I had Purdue money line and they won. Ooh. No, I'm sorry. That's the one that screwed up. So that was the last one. I had Purdue. I had Purdue to beat North Texas, and they blew it, went into overtime, and then lost to North Texas in overtime.
Wow. So, man, I'll tell you this.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
The sports betting world is a dangerous game. Because
yeah, it is.
I do it, I do it in college football season, and I always send you my parlay picks.
Right.
I send them to you, and I'm like, yo, CP, like, these are fucking locks, dude. Like,
they're locks.
There's
yeah.
no way these can miss. And I'll have 5-team parlay. I'll hit one of them.
Yeah. And I was talking with one of my buddies. I was talking with one of my buddies yesterday, and it's kind of eerie how spot on Vegas is with like all of their lines and spreads. It ends up coming down to the last second all the time.
It's crazy, dude. It's a terrible feeling. Wait, because like I said, I do it in football season for college and NFL, and it's a terrible feeling. You got a 5-team college parlay, you know. And I always check the times. Like, I don't know why it's a little niche of mine that I'm like, I like to line them up to where I don't have to watch 2 games at
morning,
a time.
Morning games, afternoon games.
I ain't got to watch 2 games at one time, especially when OU's playing, because when OU's playing, I don't give a shit about that other game. But it's a terrible feeling. You got a 5-team parlay, game 1, 11 a.m., they miss.
See, like, that's what happened to me yesterday. It was early. I missed a couple early, and I was like, okay, I need to make a couple parlays to make this back. And just typical, like, sports betting, digging yourself a deeper hole. Yeah. So
it's like, well, I missed that time. I won't miss again.
Yeah.
Man, what a good pod. We had.
Yeah, I appreciate you jumping on with us, Heath.
Oh, hey, sure thing. Hey, before we go, we got to talk about just a little bit. I got to give a shout-out to March Madness, the true sport NCAA D1 National Tournament going on this weekend. Y'all been watching all that basketball. I've been, hooked into the TV. And I got to give a little bit of shout-out to our 2 Cowboys from OSU. We got 2 guys in the national finals tonight, Dayton Fix and A.J. Ferrari.
There you go, baby. Dayton Fix is a fucking beast, dude.
Yeah, they're both
A.J. Ferrari, true freshman. That's compete for a national title tonight, so that's awesome.
I live in Tulsa, right? I live up by Tulsa. That and Fix is right up the road from me. That's where.
Sand Springs.
Yeah, Sand Springs. They live right up the road. So I'm like, I'm hanging out with these dudes at the gym because I work at the gym. You know, I train, and I got mad people talking to me about how badass that and Fix is, and I'm like, right on.
Real deal.
And then I see a lot of, what'd you say?
He's the real deal.
Real? Yeah, he's good. Real fucking deal.
As real as it gets.
He should have went to OU.
Yeah.
No. He made the right decision. Cowboys all the way when it comes to wrestling.
I think we talked about that in episode 1 as well. We were like, OSU is always a little brother. And then Caleb was like, well, not wrestling. I'm like, yeah. We
golf and wrestling.
Can't say that wrestling.
Hey, but OU did show up at the Big 12 championships. They were co-champions with OSU.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. So Boomer Sooner.
Big 12 title in wrestling in a long time.
Yeah, Boomer Sooner on that one, though.
Put a hashtag on
that. Yeah, I can't say it.
Yeah, man, but Dad Fix is the truth. Speaking of Sand Springs, you know, I'm trying to get Jimmy Flick on this motherfucker. I'm going to work on that, try to get UFC fighter Jimmy Flick on this because he's also a Sand Springs boy. But and I got people up there, so I mean I feel like I can do that. And I think it would be cool if you joined in with Jimmy, and maybe he can talk you into fucking UFC.
That'd be too. He'd probably make too convincing of an argument.
Yeah. It don't even hurt that bad. All right, I'm in.
All right, I just got to get punched a couple times, get used to it.
Yeah, but so let's wrap it up there. Like Chance said, I think it's been a great pod. Heath, man, again, congratulations. National champion. Like I said in the promotion on Facebook yesterday, I said on the promotion on Facebook yesterday, when you come at the man, you better come straight one. And second, whatever you call him, you better put national champion.
National champ in front of it.
Can't nobody ever take that away from you, brother. And we're so proud of you. And we appreciate the hell out of you coming on. Chance, Caleb, as always, I appreciate you guys. You know, to our listeners out there, we told you guys we got big things coming. You know, big episode last week with Fulmer coming on. Big episode this week, the new national champion coming on. We got things in line. Stay with us. We appreciate every single one of you. Caleb, good luck today. Go get you another trophy.
If
you win two in a row, he's only got one national championship.
Kind of puts down mine. Yeah, my
Caleb's got one-round weekend golf tournament.
I mean, in my eyes, two golf tournaments, national champion. I'm going to take two.
Yeah. If you win it today, I definitely got to come back and win a national title. Second national.
There you go, Caleb. The fate of UCO wrestling
lies on my shoulders.
Play well today.
Once again, on the Balls Deep podcast, just if you're going to listen, if you're going to listen in and you enjoy it, bring a friend. All we ask is that you bring a friend, like and share, spread it around, man. This is good sports talk, and we have good names, and we have good content. We got a lot of people that want to talk really good sports, and we got a lot of people that want to talk and let your kids grow to be fucking champions. As always, this is a Bears Deep.
And Heath, man, the cutting's over. We got Mad Michelos waiting for you, brother.
Man, hey, I'll make it down there. Don't you worry.
You let me know whenever you're ready, my guy.
Dude, come to the house.
Yeah, next time I'm down that way, I'm hitting both of you up for sure.
For sure, brother. All right, man. This has been
– See you guys.
This has been episode 5 of Balls Deep. We appreciate you guys. We'll holler at you next week.
See ya.